You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Well, this month we've been looking at transformation. That's been our theme of the month. And, you know, 11 years ago when Jeff and I planted this church, we had those three words that had grown out of dreams and visions, that what we believed was the direction that we wanted C3 Bathurst to go. And those words we've looked at as revive and restore and release. Jeff has followed, gone into depth into each of those ones. But what we intended was that they would be like a description of the flow of people, a progress that people would be, a journey that they can go on within church. And when you bring them together, it's kind of the core of who we are. And when we look at those words, revive, meaning to be brought back to a place of being saved by Jesus, restored, brought back to how we were created to be, and released, that we'd be used by God to bless others in our world. And separately, I'm sure we all have stories about amazing events in our lives that have kind of come under these different categories. But when we put them together, that they can describe how we can flow as God's people within His house. And if you think of that flow being like a river, then it has a source. It starts somewhere. It moves. It gets increases in depth and goes towards something. And it's healing and it's refreshing. In Ezekiel 47, that has my most favorite description of a river. And when I read this passage, I find it comes to life. So I wanted to read it this morning, and I want you to picture this river in your minds, what it might look like. Don't think Macquarie River. Think one of those, you know, just a full, I think American rivers, I can imagine, you know, coming down from all the Canadian Rockies or something, just full of vigor and life and refreshing and things like that. So picture that. Fish, salmon, yep, all of those things. Ezekiel 47. Then the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing eastward from beneath the temple threshold. This stream then passed to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the stream flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he led me along the stream for 1750 feet and told me to go across. At the point, the water was up to my ankles. Measured off another 1750 feet and told me to go across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1750 feet and the river was too deep to cross without swimming. He told me to keep in mind what I had seen. Then he led me back along the river. Suddenly, to my surprise, many trees were now growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the Jordan Valley where it enters the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will heal the salty waters of the Dead Sea and make them fresh and pure. Everything that touches the water of this river will live. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will be healed. Wherever the water flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, fishing all the way from Engedi to En-Galeem. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they did the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will be sources of salt. All kinds of fruit trees will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fail. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month without fail, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that river. You know, that river is, it's a prophecy. It's a description of the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. It's a description about what that the good news that Jesus brought, that he died, that he rose again to forgive us. It's a description of that life that flows from him and flows out to the whole world. But, you know, when we think of the gospel, you know, gospel, what is the gospel? What is the good news? It's not a philosophy, okay? It's not a concept. This is not just a pretty picture of something that we hope would suddenly happen. The gospel is carried in the lives of people. It's lived and breathed in the lives of people it touches. In the lives of people it revives and restores and releases them. It's a flowing and living and breathing word of Jesus within each and every person who receives him. And so this picture of the gospel, you know, that's prophesied about so many years before Jesus even set foot on earth, comes to life in the flow of people as they live this and are this. And in looking at, in understanding Ezekiel, let's look at, like, we'll break this down. We'll break down this flow of people and look at it in bits and pieces to see how we can be a part of this and how we can live and breathe this, how we can take hold of the revive, the restore, release and put it together so it's one consistent flow that keeps flowing out from God's temple and from Jesus. So if we look at verse 1, it says, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right side of the altar on its south side." Every river has a source. And the source of God's river is Jesus. He is the source of life. He is that threshold. It is from within him, from under him, that we receive that life, that that river begins to flow. Within our own lives, it's can feel like a mystery sometimes. And, you know, there's a lake on Fraser Island, or several lakes on Fraser Island, and no one can explain where the water comes from. It doesn't make any sense. They just are there. They have no obvious source of water. And it's kind of a little bit like within us. The Holy Spirit within us, it's a mystery how that works, how that is. It's a mystery that within, inside of us, we have a source of life which is so separate from anything else. Colossians 3 says, "For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." And we can't look around, we can't judge other people on where they are, but for we know and God knows in our world and in our life that source and when that began, when it started to spring up and the life that where that comes from. But we know that source is only from Jesus. There is only one place that source of life can come from. In verses 2 to 5, this man takes Ezekiel and he walks him down the river, crossing at different points, and at each point it's getting deeper and deeper and until a point where he can't cross anymore. A river is supposed to flow. It's a moving thing. It's increasing. It's deepening. You know, the life of Jesus within us is supposed to flow too. It's supposed to become deeper and stronger and overwhelming us. It's supposed to be something that is a growing thing. There's this balance of yes, us working out our salvation, but of also Jesus just washing over us, His Holy Spirit growing within us and overwhelming us and restoring us in ways that we can't. We've talked about this in Philippians the other week. In verse 13 it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." So God's working, we're doing, the two things are coming together and we're getting deeper and flowing more in His river. You know, because once we have been revived, once we've received Jesus, God goes about restoring us, but we have to open the door for that to happen. We have to do our part. It's our role to read our Bible. It's our role to pray. It's our role to you know, be in church and to serve, to forgive, to love. All those things are our part that we need to do. And all of these ways are ways that we come deeper into the river, that we let God restore us and heal us. I was thinking about our own church here and, you know, the things that Jeff and I dreamed about 11 years ago, the things that God gave us a vision for are happening. And it's exciting. I get excited when I look around and I see there's so many things that people are doing and throwing their heart into and serving God and loving Him. And, you know, we have baptisms coming up next week. And I mean, what a great way to jump into that river or swimming pool. But, you know, to literally make that statement for yourself, I am going on this journey. I am jumping in feet first, and I'm going on this journey before friends, before family. I'm serious about Jesus. I want to be in His flow. I want to go where He's going and do what He's doing. So if you have not been baptized and you want to do that, come and speak to us. You know, we've got connect groups where we challenge each other and we rub each other up the wrong way. We're accountable to, you know, the things that we speak about, we pray about. You know, someone might come back and ask us how that's going. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing to put things out there and to be accountable, to connect together. We have conferences, with, you know, with wider C3 and there's C3 College Online where we can, you know, deepen our knowledge of the Bible, our understanding of Jesus, to see how it all fits together. There's so many church teams and prayer walks that we can be a part of that remind us it's not about us. This journey is not about us. I am not an individual trickle going out from the temple. I am a part of a river. I'm a part of a bigger flow of people all coming out of from Christ, all going towards the places that He wants to bring life to. We're building God's house and serving Him. You know, when I look at kids' church, they've gone out and, you know, at 9 o'clock this morning, there's so many kids and our youth on Fridays and we've got teachers that teach SRE and go into the schools. There's so many places that we have to sow and water the seeds that have been planted, to sow into the hearts of our kids, to those opportunities for those kids to grow up and become those fruitful trees that are growing by the side of the river. We have C3 Cares and we have C3 Lithgow, opportunities to release gifts of worship, to be preaching, serving, to be loving. Hospitality, so many areas. We even have, you know, CSU and compassion places where we step beyond ourselves. You know, we go out of our comfort zone maybe and remember that we're heading towards something. We're flowing out towards places that may not have been touched, hearts that don't know Jesus. And all these parts of life in the church is part of that river of getting in, and it's the people that make that happen that brings the life. Those programs alone and things alone are nothing without the heart of Jesus that pours that life into them. And so those things are brought to life when we're within those and our hearts are connected to Him. In verses 8 to 10, it says the river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. How good is that? How good is that that God's river, that His life, reaches out to where there is death and no life? You know, the Dead Sea and the desert. Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because life can't thrive there. Okay, it's the lowest point on earth. So it's 430.5 meters below sea level. The water can't go anywhere. It's a death trap for, you know, any fish that come in. Algae, nothing can grow there. The salt that's in there, it stifles any life that tries to take hold. But this is the very place where Jesus wants to head. This is the very place where He wants His river to flow, where He wants us to take His words of hope and life and love, because Jesus promises that it will bring life. Jesus promises that His river will transform the Dead Sea. His river will transform those places and will actually bring life into that, where it will flourish and where it will grow. That is such an amazing picture of what Jesus does to our lives. What Jesus does to that lowest place on earth, that darkest heart, no matter where that might be, what that might be like, Jesus promises that His river brings life. And that excites me. It excites me because He's asking us to do that. And He's entrusting us with that precious gold and that precious hope. He's not just leaving it to this kind of word, gospel, or good news, right? The good news will do that. No, He's entrusting it into the lives of you and me, those crazy little beings that mess it up. He's the one that it's His life within us that does the work. We are that flow of the gospel as we take up the things He asks us to do. He promises that. That's the cool part. That whatever we put our hand to, that He works within us and brings the life that He wants to bring. Verses 6 to 7 moves on, and verse 12 as well. He says, "Have you been watching, son of man?" He led me back along the riverbank, and then I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. Jesus' river is a healing and a restoring river. And as we become part of that flow, we're going to have opportunities to look back and see what's happened. You know, I can imagine, like, how cool Billy Graham now, sitting in heaven. How cool to see all the people that his words that he spoke from Jesus have affected. How many people are in heaven today because of that man, because he was faithful, because he spoke the words of Jesus, because he lived them out for his life. And I'm sure he came across people in his life on earth that, you know, said, thank you. Thank you for speaking those words. Thank you for living that. And there will be people in your world that when you go to heaven, when you return to Jesus, they will say thank you. They will say thank you for speaking that into my world. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for living that. Thank you for going to that place with me. I'm sure that we can probably pinpoint someone in our own life that has taken us there. Or maybe they're just being annoying on the edge right now, wanting us to go there. But where Jesus' river flows, there is life and abundance and fruit. In verse 11, however, it shows that there is an alternative to being in the flow, being in that river, and that is stagnation. The marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. We can become disconnected to the river. We can stay at home or just disconnect ourselves from the life of what Jesus is doing. You know, there's amazing online churches and things like that. And they take the gospel into homes. They take that word into homes. It's a fantastic thing. But the next step is for that not to stay there. There's no point if that word just stays on that television set or just stays in that home. That word is meant to then go out in life and touch people, to be connected to people, to be growing with other people. And I just so love it when York comes to church. It's so great to see a bunch of people who want to be together in God's house and be in that flow of what he's doing, to hear him, to worship him, to serve him. Because if we just sit in our swamp, like Shrek, maybe. You know, the water just sits there. It retains salt and it can preserve hurts. It can preserve unforgiveness. It can preserve traditions and stubbornness. And I don't think that's what God intends. God wants his life to touch all those things and to just flush it all out, to clean it all out. Being a part of the flow is about being part of something much bigger than ourselves. We're surrounded. We're not just, you don't look at the individual droplets of water in a river. You look at that river. And they're moving and they're jostling and jumping and going forward and going along and going from one stage to the next. Making more impact, bringing more life. But in the end, we each have that choice whether we want to jump in that river, to go into the flow of where Jesus is going, to be touching the lives around us. Or we can just sit on the edge, not touching that water. I have a funny story that I hope helps describe what can happen when you jump in and do something that can be a little bit really not necessarily what you wanted. And but the benefits that can flow from that. So a few years back, hope you don't mind me talking about Sam. Sam wanted to, you know, continue doing some swimming training in the mornings, and Jeff would usually be the one that took him down because he's the early morning person, motivated person. But he'd had an operation, and so he couldn't go swimming. And so I was not thrilled by the prospect of me swimming. I didn't really want to do it at all. I didn't have confidence myself in swimming laps. I was worried about my own abilities, my stamina, all of that. Basically, I couldn't do freestyle. I would panic when it came to freestyle. As an Australian, I think we're all supposed to be able to do freestyle. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't get down that 25 metres. By 10 metres, I felt like I could not breathe. My mind is going 100 miles an hour. My heart is racing. And I just feel like I was going to drown. But, Sam and Jeff encouraged me. Sam just wanted me down there. He just wanted to lift, I think. So you can do it, Mum. Come on. Oh, Jeff didn't call me Mum, but anyway. Sometimes. So I just started with what I could do. You know, I would do some breaststroke. I just start with that. I can breathe doing that. That's all good. Was not much compared to a serious swimmer. It was just like kind of just getting in that river. Just having a go. Doing what I could do. Just being in that place and being with other people and having a go. As I did that, I started to develop strength, you know, your lung capacity increases and things like that. And I started to challenge myself because you get a little bit of confidence and you think, I can do this. Maybe I can try something more. And so I did, you know, I would try a length of freestyle and I'd struggle through that. But, you know, I'd keep challenging myself. I'd keep pushing myself. Keep trying a little bit more. And in the funny way is it's a little bit like that God, you know, as I just kind of tried a little bit more, he's building my capacity. Unbeknownst to myself, the capacity of my lungs is growing. I can't make that happen really. It's, you know, he's working in that for me. But I have to actually have go. At home for breakfast, I had my cheer squad. They'd, you know, celebrate my achievements. Doesn't matter how small they were. But they would celebrate it. They celebrated when I got to two laps of freestyle and all those things. I was chatting with people at church. I was chatting with Di Aitken and she's talking about her swimming and, you know, her similar sort of things. She would panic and she talked about how she would get through that. She gave me a brilliant idea of flippers. That made me the same height as Sam. I don't care. I would get inspiration from other people. You know, Kerry in church, I did ask her if I could mention her. She inspires me. I see her there on a Wednesday morning doing far more than me. But that inspires me. I think, gosh, I can do it too then. And so by just, you know, taking those steps out, over the last year I've become more consistent. I've built up my laps. You know, I've managed to get to the 50-metre pool and I now manage to do it all freestyle. But I haven't done it alone. And I've also discovered it's kind of fun. It's been fun going together. It's been fun being encouraging each other and challenging each other. And as I kind of immerse myself in that little routine and that story of my life, I did it with others. And it wasn't, you know, it's not so much for myself I did it because I wanted to support Sam. But in the middle of that, I have gained great benefits and great things. And I hope that I've been out to encourage others. You know, Jamie's popped along even, and Ben, and you know, Jake, and we've had fun times down there. I don't know, that's just a funny example of something, but I wanted to give you a picture of how simple it is. It's not meant to be hard or complicated, jumping into the flow of what God's doing. God set his churches as the means by which his gospel would go forth. In Acts, it just said, you know, now go to the end of the world. Take this. He set these churches up. We are his body, living and breathing. And it's not meant to be complicated. And so I wanted to show you just how that you too could be a part of this flow of what he's doing. How just, you know, when you pick up your Bible each morning and you keep going to Connect Group and keep turning up at church and you keep pouring that coffee or making those meals or back to plugging in leads at Lithgow. You know, all those little bits and pieces, they're all little bits of the flow of Jesus, of good news, going out and reaching the people that need to. And you'll find in the middle of that, that you're moving, that you are increasing in your own depth, in your personal walk with Jesus. You're increasing in the way that you love the Bible, the way you read the Bible and devour it and enjoy it, the way you understand it, the way you share it. You find that maybe your lives are becoming more, you know, tangled up with other people. You've got friends around you, cheering you, supporting you, pushing you, challenging you. And you probably also find that in the middle of that flow, the things are also being healed, that there's a little point of unforgiveness that's been set free, that there's maybe a physical ailment that you turn around and you go, wow, God's touched that because this person prayed for it. And you look at your own life and you see those things that God is doing and restoring and releasing. And then you look around at the people next to you and you see what he's doing in them as well. And you go, wow, last year they were like this and look, you know, look what's happening in their world. And it's fun. It's fun to be doing it together. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, I feel like you're in that flow of the river. Do you feel like you're jumping into that space? You know, have you been revived yourself? Have you got that life of Jesus that is welling up inside of you? Have you been restored, or is God still, you know, restoring parts of your world that you want him to touch? Have you been released and starting to just let that gospel out of your own life? You know, I think it's time. There's always a point where we have to go, you know what, now it's time. It's time to stop just sitting on the edge. It's time for me to jump in and become part of what God's doing. Not just worry about my own personal walk with Jesus, but actually jump in and become a part of the bigger part of what God's doing in his world. God wants us, his river, to bring life to the darkest and lowest points on earth, to the hearts that are hurting and crying. And, you know, I described so many of those ways that we can do that in church, and I'm just going to ask the service crew. It's got a little card, blank pen. On that card, I want you to write down personally, you know, just something that you may be doing already, or you want to change and try out, or something you want to start doing to jump into that flow of what God's doing. When you write on that, just pop it in your Bible. That's for you to remember what you want to do to be part of His flow. Maybe getting baptized next week, might be working on a team or different things, coming out to Lithgow, whatever it is. I also want you to, you know, let someone know after the service. Like if there's something that you want to jump into in church, there's a piece of paper on the table outside, and you can just write down your name and your number and some area that you want to be a part of, that you want to get involved with. So you can just, you know, have a think about that. Write those things down. Good to act on the thing that God speaks to us about. But first of all, you know, the most important thing that we can ever do in church each week is to make sure that everyone has had an opportunity at some point in their life to be revived. That means to receive Jesus, to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And to take that first step of getting in the river and His life welling up inside of us.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your blood.